It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
The police!
Recent historical records have surfaced, proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to
the police,
asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
And if I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a K-car.
A nice, reliant automobile.
I remember the K-car. I bet you don't remember the K-car, do you, Brandon?
No.
No?
No.
It's Chrysler. A guy named Lee Iacocca was sent in to basically rescue the company. He was, I think he was from Ford. I know we probably have a listener that's going, no, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. But anyway, they brought him in to rescue Dodge Chrysler, Plymouth, blah, 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 because they were bankrupt. So, anyway, he did. They designed the K car. It looked like every undercover cop car in America. But it was very popular, and they sold a lot of them, and they are where they are today, you know, after a couple of corporate transfers and that sort of thing.
Well, I know something about undercover cop cars. I drove a 1979 Chevy Impala as my first vehicle.
No.
I got
really
quite a few evil looks from people.
Did you have the weird lights on where the
no, that would have been great. No, I didn't have that.
Yeah, like the Blues Brothers mobile, right?
Yeah.
Blues mobile.
Exactly.
Right on. All right, welcome to Speak Out. It is Thursday, April 2nd, 2026. I am Paul Lavoie, and we have, of course, Brandon Bowers in the studio. He's the regional editor for River City Newspapers. Wow. I knew you when.
Yeah, yeah.
And Daisy Nelson is here as well, a great writer, by the way. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And assistant editor for
Today's News Herald.
Today's News Herald. Yeah. You were born and raised here, though, right?
I was, yeah.
Born and raised here.
Yes, 1998. And then, grew up here and then went to Arizona State University, Walter Cronkite, and came back.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. Nice.
Thank you.
What did you think of your journalism education at ASU?
Yeah, so it honestly, I give it a lot of credit for where I am today. It was really good at showing us a very wide variety of ways that we can be journalists. It focused a lot on multimedia journalism because, as we know, local journalism nowadays, you kind of have to be everything. You're the photographer, you're the videographer, you're the writer, of course. So I credit it with a lot of the skills that I was able to learn.
So you must have taken some radio because you just did a great job on your answer.
Thank you,
I started looking for music.
I worked at KJZZ for a little while.
Oh, you did? So,
yeah.
I've never heard the station, but they have a great news department.
Yes, it's awesome.
Yeah, and a little on the conservative side.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I noticed.
They definitely know their audience, and yeah.
Oh, is that what it is? Where is KJZZ located?
So they're in Tempe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah,
they have a very big web presence as far as their stories in that go.
Mm-hmm.
We had a breaking news story this morning. We could probably clarify that because you have a reporter on the ground there, and she has the police beat in the Bullhead, Fort Mojave, Mojave Valley, Needles areas, that sort of thing. Tell me what Kate told you about, she goes by, what's her?
DK.
DK
yeah.
McDonald, thank you. But we know her as Kate.
Yes.
There was a report, and I got a call from up the street, our station up there that I do news for, that there was an active shooter situation in Fort Mojave. Tell us what you know.
Yeah, so I reached out to Kate, or DK, to see, you know, what was going on. She said that it was reported an hour ago that there was a man walking around Young Scholars Academy, which I believe is in Fort Mojave, with a gun on his hip. So she's working on figuring out any additional details.
Yeah, that's right there, Valencia and Highway 95, right where we call it the curve.
Yeah.
Is it just south of Cocktails?
Gotcha.
Back in the day, when I first got here, it was 1989. We call that area the Mesa, like Fort Mojave Mesa.
That makes sense. Yeah,
I'm going to the Mesa. So nobody uses that terminology anymore, except some of the old timers. I guess that would qualify me. But you brought somebody else too, Alicia I knew I was going to mess this up. Amandaris? Mm-hmm. Did I say that right?
Yeah, Alicia.
Alicia. Very good. And she's doing some of the recording there from, could be an iPhone, could be an S23. It's an iPhone. Perfect. But the reason you guys are here, and I'm it's kind of like mind blown before the show. I was trying to think, how in the heck would you move a newspaper, right? The offices, it's got to be a nightmare.
Well, it's easier than it used to be because we don't have to deal with things like moving presses anymore, buckets of ink, you know, that kind of thing. We are simply an office, and we can work out of a lot of locations. But we had been in Lake Havasu City and our previous location at Industrial in Acoma for something like 45 years.
Oh,
I think 1982 they went in there, and previous to that they were in a location closer to where Mojave College is on in Acoma. But we had a 7,000 square foot building that really we didn't need probably 30 years ago. It's been a big building, and you know, we're paying to air condition a building that's not efficient. We're not using it properly anymore because it's just too much space. So we said it makes more sense to get to a location closer to downtown, closer to where the news happens that we cover, City Hall and the courts and everything else. So we are now at 94 Acoma. As far as how do you move a newspaper, there's a lot of boxes, a lot of stuff. We're still figuring that out. It's a new dynamic. A lot of us are sharing spaces we didn't share before, but we have a storage unit full of stuff that we're still figuring out what to do with.
Are you archiving it electronically?
We have 20 years worth of archives right now, so anything you're looking for that's been published in the News Herald will be on HavasuNews.com. What we also have is our bound volumes that go back to the 60s, the start of the Lake Havasu City Herald. We have books upon books of those. I have the oldest copies right now stored in my garage at home. That won't be very long because my wife's going to do something about that if I don't. So we'll be moving those down to open space that we have in Parker. It's readily available to us. We have our Parker Pioneer office with plenty of room to store it, and we can go and retrieve that very easily.
Got a good writer down there, John, right?
John Gutekunst.
Yeah, that was a good. What's his last name?
Gutekunst. We call him Goody.
That's funny. That's like Cootie, right? He's got Cootie, but he's got the Gooties. That's funny. Now, he's a good writer. Does a good job.
He's been there a long time.
You guys have several papers, but I wanted to concentrate on this aspect of archives, though. Does any of that get reported, like, to the Library of Congress or, like, for archiving? We used to call it microfiche back in the day.
Yeah. The Arizona, what is it, the State Library?
Ah.
There's a system there that archives everything. I don't know about the Library of Congress, but we are registered there, so I've got to think they have access to that.
So any printed material can be accessed.
There are ways, yeah. I couldn't tell you how to do it, do that part of it, but, yes, they are archived and they are tracked, and you can get all that historical content if you look hard enough.
So when you're published, Daisy, right? Mm-hmm. You're published everywhere.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's really cool to have such a cool network and, like you said, you know, an archive and digital presence that can reach a lot of people.
But the newsrooms we see, like one of my favorite movies that has to do with media is called The Paper with Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
I love that movie. And it's all in one day, right? And then you've got, I can't remember, Quaid, Randy Quaid is in that movie. And but you see all the desks, rows and rows and rows of desks. You ever work in a newsroom like that?
Yeah. It's been, 15 years ago I was at the Merced Sun Star in Northern California, and we had about 30 people in our newsroom. And we had a room. It was probably the size of a small like a wrestling gym. You know, it's not a huge gymnasium, but it was big enough size, and we had directional signs on how to get to different departments. So.
It didn't smell as bad, right?
You know, it smells like a newsroom. So
no, the wrestling room.
Old food. Oh, okay. Okay. Man. Yeah.
Daisy knows what I'm talking about. Woo, the wrestling boys were stinky. I played soccer, and we had to share a locker room with those guys.
Gosh.
Yeah. So, where was I going with that? The Merced Sun Star.
Yes.
Is it still around?
It is. Not in any shape like it was when I was there. We had 30, I think. No, they're down to a few people. It's
right.
It's the state of journalism has changed so much. And, you know, local news, where it's supported, is doing okay. In Havasu, we've certainly changed with the times. We are much more digital than we used to be. As you know, we're not daily anymore.
That was a good pun.
What's that?
Change with the times.
Oh, change with the Herald.
Yeah.
No, because you have the Laughlin Times, don't you?
We do. The Laughlin Times, that's another big change. We've incorporated that into our Mojave Daily News. So these are things that we're doing to make sure that we can be around, you know, 30, 40, 50 years from now, too.
Wait, they don't still do the weekly?
Well, the Mojave Daily News is a weekly in print now.
Oh.
It's not the Daily News. We call it the Mojave Valley News.
Gotcha.
And the Laughlin Times is a piece of the Mojave Valley News. In print,
it's no longer the MVDN,
not the
it's D. The Mojave Valley News.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, I got to get this stuff. I didn't realize.
Mojave Valley News. We've switched distribution up there. It's now in the mail once a week. And I'm sorry, not in the mail. It is mailed, but it's distributed something like 10,000 customers throughout the town, and for free. And then you can subscribe to it too. And if you subscribe, you can get extra digital editions and. Website access, that kind
sure,
of thing.
Sure. But you do the electronic, what is that called? The e-edition.
The e-edition, yeah.
The e-edition. Oh, those are really good. Well, yeah, there's a cord right under this table that I'm not used to. So, anyway, we're all good. But the e-editions, I go to those quite a bit. Is that included with your print subscription
yes.
then?
Yeah. We have a couple of print subscription options, but yes, you subscribers should get access to everything that we do.
Okay, perfect. How many papers do you have? You have the Kingman Daily Miner.
Yeah, we have six.
That's not daily anymore, though?
It's not daily.
It's
yeah, we've taken the daily okay. out of what we do because,
right.
we are daily online. We publish news as it happens. It's daily. Okay. We have news stories online every day for every paper. But we put out an edition, whether it's an e-edition or a print edition. In different communities, it's different frequencies. In Havasu, we come out 3 times a week in print. Mojave's one, Kingman's one. We have Parker, we have Wickenburg.
How long did the move take?
About a week.
A week? That's it? A
lot of prepping beforehand.
Do you know how much it would take to move this place?
A lot of boxing up. I mean, we still probably haven't fully moved in. I mean, it looks good. If you go down there, it looks like a working office. But as I said, we have a lot of things we have to figure out what to do with ultimately.
Do you have the satellite dishes, like for the wire service or anything like
nope.
that?
No, everything's online now, so it's so much easier than
really?
It used to be. Yeah.
Wow, I remember watching, in quotes, right, watching the Super Bowl, the Giants and Bills, on the AP wire.
Yeah.
At the first station I worked for.
I remember.
And then going down,
going
down to the bar at the very end of the complex where the station was and watching Norwood miss the field goal. From whatever it was, 32 yards out, right?
Yeah, I remember pulling the latest wires on an old VDT system that was hooked up to this really elaborate old technology wire system that the paper I had when I started had, this is in the 90s, and just sitting there hitting refresh because we didn't have anything like the internet to give us the news.
Man.
So I had access to things people didn't have. It was so cool.
Right.
But today it's all on a PC.
Let's see how far back you go. Do you remember the Quip?
No.
It was a fax machine. And you put your paper on this roll and it rolled like this, 3 minutes a page.
Yeah.
It would transmit a page in 3 minutes. But it was called a Quip. Now, I worked for a sign company in Vegas, and that's how we transmitted contracts, documents, just different things. Anything but big drawings,
yeah.
right? But, yeah.
I worked with a lot of old technology, fax machines,
oh.
wax. If you remember the wax system?
Faxes are old technology now.
Yeah.
That's funny.
We still have a fax, actually. It may not have survived the move now that I think of it. But we had a fax up until a couple of weeks ago.
Right. I think Steve still has a fax number on his business card.
Yeah.
That would figure, right? Exactly. What's good by the Killers, by the way?
Ooh, I really like
Mr. Brightside.
Miss Atomic Bomb is actually my favorite.
Miss Atomic Bomb.
Yes, and Battleborn, but Brightside is also good. Mr.
Okay,
Brightside.
Perfect.
Deep cuts.
We're going to go to break, and we're going to find out more about what Brandon is involved in, because I'm involved in it too, right? And Candidates Forum. We'll talk about the Candidates Forum that's coming up on June
17th.
Right. We were trying to figure that out. And you and Andrea are coming on the week before on Speak Out to talk about that as well. And Daisy's got the list of candidates.
Ooh.
Right?
Yep.
And Alicia is recording. So you should stick your face in front of the camera and say, hey, that's me, you guys. All right. Back with more in a moment. Again, we have Brandon Bowers, Daisy Nelson, and Alicia Amandaris from River City Newspapers. Or should I just say the Havasu Herald?
People probably know the News Herald more than the River City Newspapers. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Well, it's such an encompassing name. And then you look at all the papers that you guys publish. Holy cow.
Six papers and then a lot of other publications.
The nice thing is like the state of the business now, you have Buck Dopp.
Yep.
Who writes for you guys? Does he still write for you?
Not as much. Occasionally he'll submit something, but he moved to Colorado and he's back and forth now. Kind
but
of
that
doing
doesn't really
thing.
Matter.
It, yeah, I mean, he's it matters if you are connected to the community,
right.
And he is, so he can submit something when he's inspired.
It's like we get commercials from all over
the
U.S. So, all right, back with more in a moment, 928-854-5687. If you want to talk to either of these folks from the Today's News Herald, or 928-727-5566 if you want to text in a question. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out. We'll continue in a moment. Stay with us. Daisy, that's the Taylor I like right there.
Yes.
That's the, I can understand the music and it's not, like, where's the chorus now, Taylor? You know what I mean? You ever listen to that music like we play with Brian Springberg? He'll play some stuff, I can't even tell, like Lucas Nelson. It just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. Okay, where's the hook, number one? Where's the chorus? Where's the bridge? Right?
And yeah,
it's, just,
sure.
It's like one long, okay, where are you taking me here?
Well, no offense to Taylor fans, but I have two teenage daughters. If I never hear another song, I won't be upset.
Should I play Baby Shark? What was their thing when they were growing up?
The Wiggles, a lot of Yo Gabba Gabba. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about you?
Growing up, I really liked Dora the Explorer, so I don't know. Like, music-wise, everything, because my dad was a DJ.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Cool.
But.
No?
What's?
Oh, I don't. She's trying to tell me something, and I don't know. Anyway, Speak Out, brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. And if you guys didn't know, we sponsored this room, right? The City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink, except for that little toy sink up there. Find City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Mike, what are you doing here? Crashing the party, man. Not yet. You will get your chance. I promise. Mike Ganuccio coming up next at the bottom of the hour. And talk to these guys about the candidates forum that's coming up. You and me are going to ask the questions.
Yeah.
Andrea is going to be the moderator again from the chamber, of course. And do we have the list of the candidates?
Yes, we do. So there are three regular council seats that are open and then the mayoral spot as well. So total, we have 9 candidates, 2 for mayor and 7 for city council. So we've got Neil Tinsley, Terry K. Parcells, Taylor Harrison, Kimberly Zanin, Jenny Koch, Michelle Lynn, and Sam Scarmato. Jenny Koch and Michelle Lynn, both of their seats are up for re-election, and the other seat is Jim Dolan's, and he has not wanted to run again, it seems. And then for mayor, it is Mayor Cal Sheehy looking for a third term, and David Johnson, better known as River Dave here locally.
Sure, sure.
And it looks like there's a write-in candidate now. We've been seeing some social media posts about that for mayor.
Gotcha.
A write-in for mayor?
A write-in for mayor.
Along with River Dave, and I wonder what their motivation is there. That's interesting.
You don't know until we talk to him, which we will. We'll find out what that's all about. But that's an uphill battle. That's hard to justify a campaign.
Frankie Lyons will tell you.
We've had a number of those over the years, and it's got to be frustrating for the candidate. I'd be curious to talk with them about what motivates you, why are you doing it, you know, what issues are important to you.
Yeah, right, right. It's not just city candidates, though, in the candidates forum, right?
It's city, well, it's council, it's mayor. We talked about bringing in some of the legislative candidates.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And beyond that, I don't think we've narrowed it down, but it's a big field. We don't want to bring too many people on that stage because we want to give them plenty of opportunity to answer
the
questions.
Right, and we'll be live here on KNTR Talk as well, as always, and Brandon and I will be moderating that. So anything else you want to mention before we go?
You know, I think we will be coming up with our list of questions. We have a meeting next week to discuss a lot of those fine-tuning aspects. If anybody has specific things they want us to ask at that forum, we will consider that. If you can email editor@havasunews.com or anybody at KNTR, we'll bring those to the table and consider them when we come up with our list of questions.
Yeah, good idea. And you can email that to office@myradiocentral.com. office@myradiocentral.com. We don't get complicated.
Yeah.
It's not like B. Bowers or
we keep it
like
easy.
That.
Both you and I and everybody at this table, we're very accessible. So, you know, chances are you see us out in the community, stop us and tell us too. We can take your asides.
All right, cool. Well, can you spell his name, by the way, that candidate right there?
I think so.
G-A-N-N-U-S.
CIO.
Boom! Nailed
it. All right.
That's what's funny when you're a writer, right?
Yes.
You learn these, like, there was a CEO at the Flamingo for a number of years that was Daryl Downauer, and it was, because you have nameplates in television, right? And you create those nameplates, and you're like, you don't have time to go calling people and ask, how do you spell that? So you just start remembering. It's like a photographic memory in your head,
yes,
right?
Definitely.
Exactly. All right. Well, Mr. G-A-N-N-U-S-C-I-O will be on in a moment, right? Did I get it right? I could see it right there, man.
Yeah.
Right? Plus, she just spelled it for me. All right. Daisy Nelson, Brandon Bowers, and Alicia Armendariz, who is shooting over. You're packing up, though, right? You're taking off? All right. Again, from the Havasu News Herald, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having us.
Always.
Thank you.
Always, always, always. Hey, don't get any younger, by the way.
Get a little gray over here.
mostly in the beard.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't grow a beard. That's why I don't look like I'm going to be 62 tomorrow. Right?
I mean, after, if my son's grandfather more than once.
Oh, no. Someone did that to me once. Asked me, I didn't know your grandma took you to school, right? It was my mom. I'm like, oh, man, I never told her either.
My kids love it, though.
Right. All right, back with more in a moment. 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR if you want to talk to him. Mike Ganuccio, he is a candidate for Legislative District 30 State Representative. Whew, got it. All right, is this one of the new ones?
This one,
What You Make Me Do.
Like mid-era.
Mid?
Yeah. Yeah, this is probably like almost 10 years ago.
It's definitely about an ex-boyfriend, right?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. 928-854-5687 or text us at 928-727-5566. Make this talk radio, not just listen radio. And guess what? I've got tickets to D-backs games this tomorrow night and Sunday afternoon, right? They're playing the Atlanta Braves. Pretty good sweep of the Tigers the last couple days, right?
I wish I had time to watch.
I do and I don't.
Yeah.
I listen more than anything on KNTR Sports.
I read the headlines like everybody else.
I listen on KNTR Sports, 94.3 and 100.5 FM and 980 AM. All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us, Mike Ganuccio, coming up next.
Don't like your king. Place to sleep, locked me out and threw a
got away, somebody didn't get too far, yeah. They didn't get too far.
Grandpappy told my pappy.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. Brought to you in part by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. Also, Springburg Wealth Management by The Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooters Outpost. Also, Solar Power by Esme Electric, Doritos Place, and Legacy Rehab and Care.
That justice is the one thing you should always find.
Had to hit that post, Mike. just the way I am, right?
Right.
All right. Boy, it's just, I feel like I'm all fingers today. Can't find my way around the console over here. There we go. All right. Mike Canusio, my guest. He is a candidate for Legislative District 30 representative. And with John Gillette stepping down, right?
Yep.
He's not going to run for re-election this year. Kind of opened the gates for a lot of people.
It did.
Including yourself. So what made you decide to run for state representative?
You know, I was asked. I talked to John about this when he first decided he wasn't going to run. And I pulled away. I didn't want to do it. I had some personal stuff going on at the time.
Let me back up a second. You pulled away. You didn't want to do it. That was as if he asked you?
He did ask me.
Oh, okay.
I've worked. He's my neighbor. So he lives, I want to say, a stone's throw away because we all have big acreage up there.
I was going to say.
I would say he's probably about 2 miles down the road from me. But he's my lifeline. If there's an issue, he'll take care of my family if I'm not there. And the shoe goes both ways. And, you know, he's been great to work with over the last 4 years in legislature. We've done quite a bit of work on the beef and cattle industry. So anyway, I didn't at first want to do it because I had some personal stuff going on. And later on, when Hildy decided that she was going to retire and there was two open seats, I got some calls from some friends of mine that do legislation and said, hey, we'd really be grateful if you'd run for this position. You'd be great for it. You've been doing it for the last 4 years on the outside. It's time for you to step up to the inside. So I agreed and started running.
Yeah, I never really thought about it that way, but because she was a state senator and then switched to where she was going to run for state rep.
Right.
Because Leo's termed out. That's the problem with term limits.
It is.
In my opinion. Good people get termed out, too. You know?
It is, but we need them.
I don't know. I don't really want to go there. We spent a whole hour on that on common ground. I'm not sure I'm for. I mean, I don't know. It's like Jody Segesser, who's the chair of the GOP here in Mojave County. She was showing me pictures of the ballpark at Arlington where the Rangers play when it was being built. Showing me pictures of Jerry's World when it was being built, right? Texas Stadium, giant Texas Stadium. And she said, you don't get that with term limits. So there you go. It was a lot of congressional, you know, a lot of congressional movement there that made all that happen. So there's arguments for and against. But anyway, what do you see as some of the biggest problems in this district, things that need to be solved for the constituents?
You know, along the river? The river.
The river as in?
We have bad water problems. We have legislation that needs to be corrected from the usage of the river when we first made the federal pack on it. You know, we don't have the water coming down the river before. And now we have big cuts. You know, we were supposed to, Arizona, all the river, or all the states that are on the river were supposed to come up with an agreement to cut water back so that we could maintain, and we didn't. So
well,
now
the upper basin states said, well, why should we compromise?
Right. They feel that it's all theirs, and anything below them, it's up to us. But we all need to be on the same page. We all are going to have to give up a little bit if we want to keep the river going. So we didn't come up with numbers fairly across the board, so now the federal government's going to step in and they're going to make those choices. But we also have other issues, not just with river water. We have groundwater issues. We need to make sure that, you know, the great state of Maricopa doesn't get our water down there. And they've been trying for years. I've worked on legislation before where they were trying to allegedly, you know, float water from Mojave County down into La Paz and then Pummit from La Paz into Maricopa, and, and we went to legislation, and we testified to make sure that that didn't happen, and we won. Those are, you know, that's one of the issues that we have. You know, it's a never ending battle. We just need to make sure we keep people in there that represent, you know, rural Arizona, and we can keep our beauty, our water, you know, ours. We want to make sure, one of the big things is to make sure with water that our county doesn't lose control of our county water and the state doesn't get it. I am completely opposed to the state telling us what we can and can't do with our water. So that is one of the bigger things, and it's to my heart, because over the last 4 years, well, it's been 5 years now. I retired as president from Arizona Cattle Growers Association a year ago, but during my tenure for my two terms that I did, you know, water was one of the big things we did, you know, among, you know, wolf management and getting money for the University of Arizona, et cetera, to represent, you know, the cattle and beef industry. So
the Colorado River Compact surely is super important on the list of priorities, and that it's been being renegotiated since Harry Reid left office,
right?
Believe it or not. There's just so much that goes into it, and I think the upper basin states felt that, we don't need to worry about anything. We you know, it's fine where we are. Well, but when you get down to, say, where Yuma is, Have you seen the river where Yuma is?
I have.
Oh my goodness. It's like,
it's a trickle.
You about walk across. I mean, literally, like, take a little leap across that thing. You know, it's like an irrigation ditch, right? So that's how sad the situation is. But, then you've got other issues. What are some of the ranching issues? You've got the aquifer up in Kingman, right? That's the water. What is that called? I can't remember.
The Wallapai Basin?
Wallapai Basin water, yes. Yeah. Has that been solved? Is there, I know there's a lot of foreign nationals that have farms there, and that, are they still there, or where are we at with that issue?
So when that first thing started, you know, they planted alfalfa and whatnot, and the company that started it, they went belly up. And then it got sold out to some foreign companies that were also partnered with American companies, trying to make a go of it, because they put millions of dollars in infrastructure in there. And it wound up finally getting sold again. And now there's a new owner on it, and they're planting trees out there versus running alfalfa. They're running rotation crops, and they're most likely to keep their ag status on those properties. But they're not mass growing anything out there, other than custom. You know, they've had chilies growing out there and things like that, but not anything that's using a lot of water. And the technology that they're using for the trees that are out there is probably some of the most state of the art stuff. So if we had to have something, then, you know, that really is, at least we have somebody out there that's trying to conserve the water as best we can. I'm not in support of seeing, I'm a farmer, but I'm not in support of seeing farms go up there. The problem I have is, several years ago we had an option to get this stopped. We had a bill that was going to go through to put a moratorium on this that would hold it for a five-year study, and that bill got crashed, so they got permits to put in these big ag wells and get them going, and I hate to see them spread and get any more water. But the other issue I have is, we as a state or county, however the permit worked on it, allowed them to do it. We can't, in good conscience, ask them to just give it all up because we let them do it. So if we're going to ask ag to give up water, I think we need to look at our own backyard and say, hey, what's our growth?
Okay.
Because we want ag to give up water, yet we want to expand. So we got to find a happy medium between that. We need to have responsible growth. We need to make sure that we can sustain what we have. So I do want to be at the table with that to try and help resolve some of these issues.
Again, we're talking with Mike Ganuccio. He's a candidate for State Representative, Legislative District 30. If you have a question, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. I understand we had a little automation issue, and now we can go right to the top of the hour. So, yeah, we actually have more time now with you, Mike.
I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Or text in your question, 928-727-5566. Let's say you get elected, you go to the legislature. Where do you think you would fit as far as committee assignments go?
So I'm going to ask
your strengths.
So my strengths. So I'm a previous law enforcement officer. So I want to be on those committees because I want to make sure that we get our fair share in Mojave County and fair across the state. But you know,
so
our
public safety.
Public safety is a big thing for me. I want to be on state lands, BLM lands. I want to work on water. I want to be on roads. You know, in my past life, I was an equipment mechanic. I've done big dirt spreads, et cetera, et cetera. I want to make sure that our roads have a chance to look like Maricopa County's roads.
Yeah.
You know, we always seem to get the short end of the stick. I've got semi trucks that run up and down I-40 all the time, and you know, I get in trouble for issues on my trucks if I've got a crack in the frame, my tires are chewed up, you know, whatever. My trucks fall apart going up I-40, and they want to fine me for not being able to maintain my trucks. But I can almost destroy a truck going from the Lake Havasu cut off to Kingman because the highways have been so bad for so long.
Right.
So we definitely need to help Mojave County out with that.
Okay, so that would be what, infrastructure?
Yes.
Public safety? Natural resources?
Natural resources.
Okay. I don't know how those committee assignments are made or anything like that. Have you been to the legislature lately?
Absolutely.
Yeah? What do you do when you go there?
So, the last time I went there, we had our convention, and we go to the Capitol every year. We talk to all the legislators there to try and promote, you know, the beef and cattle industry. So, and mm-hmm. I've been involved with that for 5 years, so I'll never miss an opportunity as I'm a rancher. So, our time there, you know, you meet lots of people, and when you have bills going through, you know, you get to put your input through the weight of your organization that's behind you. So the last time that I was there, you know, we had some issues. We've got some assessor bills that are going through.
We do.
Some of which are, an issue in Maricopa County, where they're basically sticking it to the rancher in a couple of areas on where he's weaning his calves and whatnot, and we're just trying to get it and get the law clarified a little bit so that progress doesn't take us over.
Do short-term rentals in that are they is that an issue as it has been in, you know, the past couple of years or the past couple of elections? Are you hearing that from the people out there when you go door to door, say, getting your petition signed?
You know, a lot of people have issues with short-term rentals. They're tired of the groups that show up in the homes, what they do to the communities, the calls to law enforcement, et cetera, et cetera. So it is a huge concern. They've been trying to run legislation to make it where they're paying their fair share in taxes, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I think we need a little more champions on that to.
Well, and the big issue is when Ducey did sign the bill allowing them, you know, say the cities have no control or very little, if any, control over the short-term rentals. Like, for example, Henderson, Nevada. Nevada has short-term rentals, obviously, because it's Nevada, right?
Right.
I mean, people don't always stay in hotels. Henderson has the authority to say, we only want this many, right? We don't have that authority in Havasu or Bullhead or Kingman or Avondale or anywhere.
Right.
There's no city oversight on that. So that would be something, if I were to vote for Mike Canusio, that Mike Canusio would say, I'm going to definitely take a look at that.
Oh, I would have no problem doing that at all. You know, like you take Havasu, there's so many short-term rentals in Havasu that people that live here that want to buy a house can't because
so many
companies own these short-term rentals.
Yeah.
And it's a problem. We need to make more room for the people here.
And now the companies are buying them or
right.
They're trying. That's what Trump was dealing with as far as Airbnb, Vrbo, and them. So what are some of the other issues that voters are talking about to you as you meet with people on the campaign trail?
You know, you hear people say, you know, we don't want to pay income taxes anymore. Where do you stand with income taxes? None of us want to pay taxes. I'd love
right.
to see all taxes go away, but then you have to look at the flip side of it. We still have to maintain. I don't want to see taxes go up. I'd like to doge the crap out of the state of Arizona to see where all our money's going. And I think we get a new governor in there that's on the opposite party, we might be able to get some of that done, and we might have more money for the state. Maybe we can lower the taxes more.
Isn't that funny how that's become an actual word, Doge?
I support it. You know
it's
what?
Not
it
just
was
an acronym anymore.
It was so great to see what they did in the federal the federal funding. You know, I'd like to see it go across the country. I mean, look at other states that are getting caught with all this fraud and everything going on. We
Man.
Definitely need to get some oversight going on with a lot of this.
Yeah, but those people that were on the grift didn't like it so much, did they?
You know, they had it for
a long
several
time.
Years.
A long time.
And we didn't have any say in it, and now it's our turn to get what we want. So
I often wondered why so many random people would run for office. It's like they knew something that I didn't. That's what they knew, right? The grift. So,
you know, so state legislation, you know, there's a lot of laws. State legislators, there's no real loopholes for them to get ahead like there is in the federal government. And if we could push some of the laws that we have on our local levels into the government, you know, we wouldn't see people that have been in legislation for 4 years and all of a sudden they've got $40 million in the bank.
The one thing I would be concerned with if I were running for state rep, though, is there's a razor-thin majority for Republicans right now.
There is.
And right now the Democrats are kind of, you know, it's all up to the party not declared people like myself, right? How are the independents going to vote, those people without a party?
Right.
What do you think about that situation and possibly being in the minority if you're elected?
You know, it's in God's hands. It really is. I tell people what I stand for. A lot of people know me. I'll answer any question. I don't dodge anything. I'm a conservative Republican rancher. I support rural Arizona, and I want to keep rural Arizona rural. I don't want to see it turn into, you know, where Maricopa's pulling out our water, messing with our infrastructure. I like seeing us as a separate entity from that, and I'll fight for it. I'll fight for ranchers. You know, I've been ranching for years, and I don't want to see our public lands abused, turned into single-use permits. You know, we have to keep it open to the public. You know, I have lots of people that come onto my ranch all the time, and they hunt, they hike, they do whatever. I want to make sure it stays that way. But one of the other things I want to work on is I struggle with BLM. You know, we have all this BLM land in the state of Arizona, and when Arizona became a state, we were supposed to get our lands back and turn them into state trust. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you, for instance, so on my ranch, I have BLM state and I have private. So my state lease is about double what my BLM lease is, and I don't have an issue with that. I know where my state lease goes. It goes to the K-12 school district.
Okay.
And I like seeing my money go to my state. But when I pay into my BLM, I don't know where that money goes. We don't have any range cons. BLM doesn't really give us a whole lot of info. I think we have one BLM officer.
What's a range con?
So that's a person that comes out to our ranches to make sure that we're abiding by the rules. They make sure the cows aren't eating the ranch out, et cetera, et cetera. We don't have a whole lot of that. And if we could get our BLM lands put into state trust, then state trust would have more money to go to the school districts or to the highways or to whatever, and we would have control of our public lands instead of our federal government.
Yeah, every time I see a solar farm or wind farm go up, how do you feel about that?
Been fighting that for years. You know, these people come in and they want to put the solar farms up, and I have a rancher that's that I represented when I was president of Cattle Growers that's in Mojave County, and he had just bought this ranch for over $1 million. I don't say the number, but it was well above $1 million. And then somebody puts in to take part of that lease, the prime grazing area of that lease, so they can put a solar farm on it, which would have destroyed that ranch, and he would have gone about 80% down on his number of cattle that he could run. And it would have bankrupted him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not fair. I think that when a rancher puts in the infrastructure to keep his ranch going, it should be untouched. And then the other issue is, you know, people testify to this at legislature that say, oh, we're going to put a solar farm in, but we're not going to change it from a multi-use permit to a single-use permit so people can still go there. And they're just dishonest about it, because if you put a solar farm in, you think they're going to let people walk around something that's high energy like that? They're going to fence it off and lock people out. It looks
right.
Like crap. Nobody wants it around. It brings more heat. It uses a lot of water. Ranching in Mojave County, for the most part, uses about 30, 30 acre feet of water, something like that. It's mm-hmm. not much. You know, cattle don't use a whole lot, but when you go in and cover it in solar farms, we're going to triple or more on our water usage. And again, we need to maintain what we have.
Yeah, the ultimate irony, right? You're driving back and forth from Vegas, and it says this is an emergency or an endangered area. Have you seen that? There's the federal sign that's up. It's between Vegas and Searchlight, and it says area of risk. Mm. It's a high risk area, the environmental thing, right? But yet they'll put a solar farm right there,
right?
You know, right there in view of that sign, which makes it completely dead. There's nothing growing out there where those solar panels are. So.
Well, and that's some of the things our federal government does. I have a friend of mine that had a ranch in California, and the California took the ranch over, paid a lot of money for it because the turtle was endangered.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
They removed all the cattle, they removed all the fencing, they moved all the infrastructure, everything, so the turtle could have his habitat. And guess what happened? The turtle disappeared because it was surviving off the cattle.
Yeah, oh no.
That's our federal government for us.
But the tortoise is back, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
They come through my yard all the time.
They're not recovered. There's an area where they're endangered again.
Oh.
Yeah, because what about the Mexican gray wolves and that? They're starting to talk about relocation of the Mexican gray wolf again.
If there was any. So the Mexican gray wolf that they've reintroduced, we've worked really hard for legislation on this wolf because they want to put them back into Maricopa County where they say that they're from. But the hybrid that they put together is not a Mexican gray wolf, for one. For two, they were almost never there. It's like bringing the jaguar back. They only came up here from Mexico when there was an extreme drought or whatever.
Right.
And then they would migrate back. So now they want to bring them up and put them in the forest. We can't protect our cattle. You can't protect your horses. You can barely protect your kids because they're so endangered, you know, and they've got all these rules and regulations on them. Right. And it's not fair. If they want to put an animal like that that's destroyed the wildlife, the deer, the elk, everything else, put them in downtown Maricopa and let the people deal with them down there, and we'll see how well that stuff keeps going on.
Okay. We got 2 minutes. We're right under 2 minutes. And I wanted to talk about the state trust bill, the proposal that Leo Bianciucci has going, you know, with the state land commissioners. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't. I'm sorry.
Now you can study up on it then for the next time you're here. Tell people why you're running for State Representative Mike Ganuccio.
I'm running for state rep because I've been doing it for the last on and off 5 years to support the people of LD 30 and the state, to support rural Arizona. I've been working to keep water in the areas that the water is at and not allow it to transfer to other basins so that we don't lose control of our infrastructure, because if we do, then we have nothing. I want common sense laws. And I want the government to stay out of our lives. I want to support our rural community leaders. I don't want to push stuff on. I want to be there as support so that when our communities need something, we can get it done.
Right.
And I'll fight hard in legislature to make sure that each one of our communities get it.
All right, perfect. I didn't have to play you off either, right? Like the Oscars. All right, we're going to go to some Luke Combs going out, do one for the troops, right?
There you go.
All right. Tomorrow's Good Friday, folks. Some of you are off. Some of us are not. But I'll have Pastor Kay Zimmerman in the studio, and she'll be here for the first half. And then I've got Rabbi Super is coming in. Mendel Super.
Oh,
he's not coming in. I'm sorry. Oh, man, he's going to hurt me for that one. I have him recorded.
Oh.
You have to observe the Sabbath during Passover, right? And we're in Passover right now. So, and tomorrow, again, Good Friday. Coming up next, Sean Hannity. And, of course, the news and a short break first. And, Mike, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out.
He's got a big old plane that's going to take me far away.
KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.